Ronnie, see what I mean? See the way? Hey, good evening, everyone in Los Angeles. My name is Cash Landy, and there's a couple of special people that, of course, you know that I am talking to you. And, hey, I hope you're having a great time tonight, as we are. All right. Hey, by the way, Stu, I think you're doing a marvelous job. I have a good friend, Stewie. He's going up to Big Bear right now, Big Bear, California, over there, with the Pasadena Chamber of Commerce to go clean up one of the areas, take all the overgrown paths and get all the rubbish and the tree stubs and whatever, put in bags and get rid of it somehow. I wonder what they do with that kind of recycling stuff. But anyway, there's 11 men and 21 women. The odds are against him, but it's okay. I'm hanging in there for you, Stu. And tonight we have a new screener with us, Marina. For those people who have been listening to the show, you know, I keep saying, oh, and I want to say hi to my friend Marina at Chin Chin's. Well, tonight she didn't have to work, so she's here with us. Hi, Marina.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. You got to put the microphone a little closer to you so everybody could hear you.
There we go.
All right, so I'm really excited for you. You're going up to school now, right?
That's right.
All right, where are you going now?
UCSB.
UCSB. Now, that is in Santa Barbara.
That's
what
right.
Does that stand for, do you know?
University of California, Santa Barbara.
All right, hey, is there any other anagram for that?
Not one we can say on the air.
Not one we can say on the air. I guess we'll leave it like that. So you're really excited. Now, you're going to be studying what?
Biochemistry.
Now, do you think you're going to be able to answer the phone? I mean, with this college, you don't have a college degree yet, but you should be able to answer the phone calls that we're going to get, right?
That's okay. I'm taking a minor in phone engineering.
Phone engineering. I love that. Now, look, you remember the number? What's the number?
1-888-4-CALLER. That's 422-5537.
That's great. And we're going to be taking calls all through the show. And, you know, remember last week I was really adamant about who was listening, and I gave out the phone number, oh, I don't know, maybe 50 million times. Well, we're not going to do that this week, but I'm going to give it out a few more times. It's 888-422-5537. And you could call in and talk to Marina and talk to me. And tonight I have a special guest, and she is just lovely and talented, and what can I tell you? She's one of my mentors. I am very fortunate to have her on the show, and let me just tell you a little bit about this woman. Well, her resume is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages long, it seems. 5 pages long, and she's done television shows and movies and commercials, and she teaches, and oh, man, she's everything that I've ever wanted in a woman and more. And she's attractive, and she's so talented, and she's into helping people, and I want to welcome her. So put your hands close to the radio. Listen up, everybody. Give us a call. Please welcome to Carolyn Barry.
I love that canned applause. It's fabulous.
Yes. Well, it's not canned.
It is.
No.
Right.
No,
where are the bunch of gremlins running around?
No,
here.
It's in a Ziploc bag. I don't use anything canned.
It's healthier that way.
That's correct. And also, you know, also now, Carolyn, it's so exciting to have you. I'm just like really thrilled. Well,
really?
You're really, 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 let's see, you, let me see, what can I, what, I don't even know where to start. I'm so excited about you having here. You've done television. Let's see, some of the shows you've done. Unsolved Mysteries, Dynasty, Star Trek, Santa Barbara, Hotel, Love American Style. And you know what? These are not like bit parts here. I mean, she's the lead, the guest star, you know, the star. She is the woman. I'm just really impressed with your credentials. But more than anything else, you're a teacher.
Right. Lately, that's primarily where I've been putting all my focus. Teaching, directing, and creating new projects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're also casting, too.
Yes, I do commercial casting for 3 or 4 of the top commercial directors in the country.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. And you see her work all over the place. Her commercials that she casts run on prime time.
And more importantly, that I see a lot of my students all over the place, which is always very exciting. It's like, you know, I watch TV with somebody and go, oh, yeah, there's so-and-so, and there's so-and-so. And I think that's the biggest source of my excitement in my life is just seeing that what I've done with people paying off. I just heard today from somebody who called me who got his first national commercial, and it is so gratifying that, and it's so validating to know that you are helping people make a difference in their life and fulfilling on their dreams.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Well, I know I took your class. I couldn't get enough of your class.
Once, that's right. We talk about you coming back.
Well, it seems like I took it more than once. It just, maybe it was just such a long time that I kept thinking, and it's just like I would get there early, stay late, you know, and you'd have to...
That was an interesting class, because I remember, right, there was all men, and that's very unusual. Like, I have a class starting in about 3 weeks that's all women. That's more usual.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's and actually teaching all the men was more demanding than teaching women.
Really?
Yeah.
So 3 weeks it starts?
Are you going to come?
I'll be there.
I figured you would be.
I know you said I could sit in, so that was great when you take your class. But you know what? Tonight, what we want to talk about, and I guess as we talk about every week, we talk about our dreams. And I want to thank some people out there right now to help me realize my dreams. And those are my sponsors. And these people have been so good to me. Cellular Fantasy, A1 Audio and Lighting and Production, Academy Tent, Gary Barnbaum with his motivational pocket performer. Now, that's really exciting as well. Magicware, you for all your computer software needs. Magicware, the bringers to you of telemagic here in the L.A. marketplace. And those are the people that have really come through for us throughout the history of the show. And tonight is a very special night. Tonight is a very special night because next week, I am not going to be on the air. Next week, I know what you're thinking. Oh, my God, what am I going to do on a Friday night without Cash Dan to entertain us? But the truth of the matter is that I am going back for a reunion, my 30-year high school reunion.
Right.
Actually, they're doing it early because they figured if they give us enough time, we'd be on time, you know? It's a 100-year reunion, Carol. And it's people from who graduated this school for 100 years. It's a school called Far Rockaway High School. You ever hear of it?
Yeah, I have, when I was living in New York.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a little, you know, it was the furthest most subway ride out there in the little corner
right.
of the town, you know, southern easternmost most point of New York City, and they're having their reunion. And the funny thing about it is they're having it in Long Island.
That's the way New Yorkers think.
I guess that kind of shows what's happened to the school. When's your reunion, Marina?
My high school reunion? My 30-year reunion?
No, not your 30-year reunion. Aren't you going to have like a one-year reunion?
I hope not.
So you're going to go up to Santa Barbara. When does school start for you?
Classes start Thursday. I'll be up Tuesday.
Okay, so we have a little bit of time with you right now. So you're going to take the phone calls. Let's give out the number one more time. It's 888-422-5537. I want to hear from you guys. If you've got something you want to say on the radio, you didn't have an opportunity before this, you want to be a little more motivated than you are, you want to know about Carolyn Barry and how she can bring you to the stardom as she's done with everyone she touches, everyone?
Let's go for that one.
Yeah. Everyone she touches, yeah. Maria, as you walk out, let her touch you, okay? It's really good for you. You'll be a star, too, up in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And so it's a very exciting time. Again, the number is 888-422-5537. Come on, call Marina, say hi to her, call us up, and we'll put you right on the air, okay? Oh, also, I've got some tickets to give away, too. So if you guys want to go out to the Improv or the Ice House, just call in and we'll set you up with some free passes to those shows. Okay? Okay. All right, so Carol,
yes,
here you are.
Yes.
You grew up in New York.
I left New York when I was 4.5 years old. So I've been out here most of my life.
Okay, so you've been out here since 4 years old, so you've been here like, 16 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Not many, many, many years.
No.
And so now, when did you realize that acting was for you? When did you know?
Well, I was a professional dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it, and I was on a show called Shindig in the late 60s. And it was a very successful show, especially for me, because they featured me a lot.
Right. Now, were you in one of those cages?
No, they didn't have cages. We had ramps and stuff.
Ramps. I don't remember the ramps. I remember the cages.
Well, that was a different show.
Uh-huh. Now, what'd you wear?
A little, mini skirts and boots and,
boots. I love the sound of boots.
Yeah,
boots.
Patent leather boots.
Ooh, white.
And white boots and black boots. I mean, it was always a different boot outfit, with shorts and little A-frame dresses. And I had a gimmick on the show where I wore horn-rimmed glasses. So I was, I became sort of the symbol of the show.
Oh, my God, that was you?
Oh, please, you knew that.
No, I didn't. I had no idea.
Well, some people who watch it who remember, it was actually a really it was a really famous thing we were doing at the time. And that's when I got into acting, because they kept featuring me and stuff. And I knew I sort of wanted to be an actress, but I was a little afraid to go after it. And it was sort of like thrust on me.
Right.
And then when the show was done, because it ran for 2.5 years, I had done very well on it, and I had a lot of exposure. I didn't know what to do, and I started taking classes, and I found out I loved it. And then that's when I discovered commercials,
mm-hmm.
because it just sort of it fit right in for me. And then I just started working. Because knock on wood, I never had to do anything but act, start as a dancer and act, and then in the last 10 years, teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been in the business.
Well, teaching was something that you didn't have to do. It's something that you decided you would do.
Yeah, somebody once said to me, when I was making most of my money doing acting, someone said to me, as an actor, since it's so sporadic and it's so insecure, they should always have something 2 days a week that you excel at, that you feel successful at.
Mm-hmm.
So I started teaching. And when I first started teaching, I only charged like $5 a person, because that's all I thought I was worth at the time.
Where was I when you were charging only that much?
It's gone up a bit.
Not much, though. Not much in reality of what you get.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But so I started like 2 nights a week, and it just grew. It just kept mushrooming and mushrooming.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, the more I taught, the more successful I was as an actress.
Mm-hmm.
It just gave me a lot of freedom, having that kind of success and feeling really great about myself. Because I believe that we have three levels of ability. Ability,
okay. Right.
Talent,
mm-hmm.
and a gift.
Okay.
And I believe that myself, that as an actress, I have a lot of talent.
Right.
But I'm a gifted teacher.
Right.
And I'm a gifted director and a creator. And I think it's important for people to really understand so that they can separate their fantasies out from their dreams. Because you talk a lot about dreams on this show.
Right.
Because I've listened a few times.
Right.
But I think it's important to really get what your dreams are and what your fantasies are so that you don't go after fantasies and give up. If you go after your dreams, the dreams are things that are really like, how do I say this? It's where your gift is.
Okay, you said so much in such a short period of time.
Oh,
okay. That there's so much there that I want.
I
first
do that a lot.
First of all, I'm very glad to know that you didn't hear what I heard when I was thinking about being a teacher, because what they said, you know, Cash, those who can do, and those who can't teach,
right.
You know, so why don't you go teach, you know? But you, on the other hand, didn't hear that. You were, they let's work for 2 days a week, and so there you have the opportunity to do that. Now, talk to me, what is a gift?
A gift, for me, I know, to me, I don't know what the definition of it is in the broader sense. But
well, what is it to you?
What it is to me, when I'm teaching and I look at somebody and I give them a comment or a direction or an observation, and I don't know how I know what I know, but it just sort of hits them right where it matters, and it makes a difference. And every time I teach, I feel like I'm plugged, it's like a universal force,
right.
And I'm plugged into that when I'm teaching.
Go
that to me
force,
is
Luke.
The, yeah, right. And I think that's where gift is. Whereas, I hear the sound effects. It's great.
Yeah.
And when I was acting, I had that once in a while. I didn't have it all the time. And
mm-hmm.
I think that the really talented, gifted people have it all the time. And it was very hard for me when I realized that I wasn't a gifted actress. I was a talented actress.
Mm-hmm.
And
was that hard for you to accept?
Yeah,
that?
Because I was successful in commercials, and I was trying to get into theatrical. Doing more theatrical work, but I realized that it wasn't my calling. It wasn't my gift. And it's very hard because I still love it. I love the energy that you get when you're in front of the camera and you're
mm-hmm.
the one. In fact, 2.5 years ago, which you hadn't mentioned, I directed a show that ran off Broadway. And it was a
what
really,
show was it?
It was called Hysterical Blindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I helped develop the show with a writer, and it was like, you know, I was a first-time off-Broadway director okay. and all this stuff, and that's a whole other
thing. It wasn't about a guy like me who, you know, just laughs himself into masturbation. And
you know what Hysterical Blindness is?
No. What is it?
It's basically, it's an emotional, psychological disease where you just can't see. In fact, no, I'm wrong. You can't open your eyes.
Okay, you can't
you can
open
see,
eyes.
But you can't open your eyes.
Okay.
And it was a very, very funny show. And then the gentleman who wrote it was just insanely talented. But so that's when I directed the show for the 2 months of rehearsal. And then when the show actually opened, it was very interesting because I wanted to be up there in the worst way.
Right.
But a part of me was glad that I could move on to the next challenge.
Uh-huh.
But I really wanted to be up there. And that's when I realized that I really had to make a decision.
Uh-huh. And so?
And so I've been primarily focusing on teaching, and my classes, I think I have the largest training facility in, not facility, training program in town. And then I also am working on a movie that I'm developing. I want to do a $100,000 film that I'm helping, that I'm writing, and I'm looking for a writer to work with, and then I will be directing.
And I have a tape that I'm working on, which is going to be a tape with Kevin West, who does the Actors Network.
Right. Kevin West was on the show,
yes,
as well.
Yes, I know he said. And I'm going to be doing that at the end of the year. It'll probably be available the first part of 98. And it's going to be a tape that actors can play in the car on the way to their auditions.
All right.
Yeah.
Because it's going to motivate them. It's going to pump them up.
That's
and
right.
They're going to get them grounded.
Right.
Because I think the key is, and what you brought out with me, is that the key to success today is to be yourself.
Yes.
Not to be who you perceive yourself to be, but who you really are.
But it's not just in acting. I think people always are trying to fulfill on what they think other people want them to be. And they get the wrong information, and they're not really listening. The only person that matters is themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't listen, sometimes people just can't hear themselves. So that's when you go to some kind of a coach. Whether it's a therapist, whether it's a transformational life coach, and if you're an actor. I have a lot of people who are taking my acting classes
mm-hmm.
who don't want to be actors because I have improv and I have a lot of comedy writers in there. I had medical doctor in there, and
right.
he does a lot of big speeches. And he wanted to do it because...
Was that James?
No, I don't know James.
James was the chiropractor.
Oh, that was a different doctor. This is in the improv class. This is a man who didn't even want to be an actor.
Excuse me. Oh.
I have improv, yeah.
I can't keep up with all the classes you have.
I know. It's been going really well.
But speaking of classes, we have a call on the line.
Well?
It was on line one. Now it's on line two. I don't know what's going on here, but let's just find out if it is Greg Dean. And Greg
Dean
is
Greg.
Greg, is that you?
Yes, indeed it is.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hi, Greg.
Hello. How are you?
You know Carolyn Barry, of course.
Of course.
I haven't spoken to you in ages.
Teacher.
I recommend your... You know, I got to get your phone number because I've recommended you as a stand-up teacher to a few people.
Oh, well, thank you.
I've heard wonderful things.
I've recommended you to everyone who has ever asked me about studying commercials and stuff. We have a mutual admiration society going here.
But it's been a while since I've seen you, sweetie.
Yes, it has.
And I recommend both of you guys all the time. What's going on? Where is my commission here?
Checks in the mail, Cash.
Hey, Greg, I hear you move.
Yeah, we're out in Santa Monica now. We're teaching out there.
Where?
We're at the Santa Monica Playhouse.
I know where that is.
Yeah, very, very nice
yeah.
space out there.
They do wonderful shows.
Where is it exactly? Give me the address.
The address is 1211 4th Street.
1211 4th Street. Where's that near?
It's near the corner of 4th Street and Wilshire.
Fourth and Wilshire. You see, I sound like an idiot. Of course I knew where it was, but I wanted everyone else to know, hey, it's Fourth and Wilshire. Of course it's a Santa Monica
I didn't
plant.
Know.
Well, hey.
I don't go to Santa Monica.
Well, hey, for those people on the west side. And Greg, so now you have a new class starting or what?
We got a class starting on Monday, actually.
Okay, that's 3 days from now.
That's 3 days from now.
And what kind of class will it be?
Will it be a stand-up comedy class? That's
uh-huh.
what I teach.
Uh-huh, yeah,
that makes sense.
And we're going to offer anybody who mentions the name of this show and your name to us, we're going to offer them a free audit for the class itself for the first half and $25 off just by mentioning your name.
And that means I could do that too then. I could come myself.
That's right. That's right.
Now, is it every time they mention my name?
Every time they mention your name. And they play that little laugh thing.
Well, you are very funny, but you, now, is it this an advanced class? Which class are you going to have?
This is the techniques beginner's class
mm-hmm.
for the technique that I'm teaching, the technique I've innovated that you know about, that I've innovated over the last 15 years.
That's really wonderful. It's a great class. I have to recommend it very, very highly because you're the only guy I know that not only teaches comedy itself, but you teach what it is and you break it down so that anyone understands the psychology of comedy. The difference would be is some comedy teachers teach you how to write a joke, and they tell you what a joke is, or they'll say, do this joke. And what you do is you actually teach the lineage of how the joke is created and what makes it funny, shattering the assumptions, and basically you have named all the components of a joke. Or to give a religious experience here that I've had is that you give a man a fish, he eats for one night, you teach him how to fish, and he could live forever.
That's the whole idea. So basically
so
people are learning to... Basically, this is a fishing class I'm teaching now. People are coming in learning fly casting. Just want you to know.
Well, that's great. Anyway, hey, why don't we give out your phone number? I know you're busy and you got to go. And why don't we give out your number?
The number is 1-800-3-STAND-UP. 1-800-3-STAND-UP.
Okay, now give me the numbers on that.
1-800-378-2638.
Okay, well, there you have it. Greg, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, and I just want to say, Carolyn, it's been nice having a very short conversation with you, and you are one of my mentors.
Thank you, sweetie.
Well, you're mine, and she's mine. I'm quelling right now that I've got both my good mentors. Next thing I know, other mentors will be calling me up right now. And again, hey, you know the number. It's 888-422-5537. Greg, have a wonderful night, and good luck on Monday.
Thanks so very much.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right, there we go. Greg Dean, everybody. So, Carolyn, there he is. There's Greg calling in, listening. How do you know Greg?
It's funny. I'm not quite sure. It's been such a long time. My ex-husband was a stand-up, so I got to hang out a lot with those guys, and we used to teach improv workshops to stand-up comics in New York. And I'm not quite sure where Greg and I hooked up, but he's one of those people that's been in and out of my life,
mm-hmm.
but started a long time
yeah.
ago.
Well, like you, he actually teaches the basics. He gets you into the basics, and that's what you do. You even in your most advanced classes, you're always going back to the basics, and I think that's important. How did you come up with that? What made you think that?
You know, I've been teaching for about 16 years, and at first I was teaching the tricks and the end result work that I knew would be important to getting a job, because most people didn't know it. It's like teaching technique.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started going through a lot of personal changes myself and a lot of personal work, and I started really looking at what was evolving in acting and in commercials, and it's gone from being very staged and very presentational to being very has a lot of humanity in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it happening, and it was happening to me at the same time, and I just sort of started including it in my teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is the thing that distinguishes me out, is that I really want each person's being to shine.
Okay.
And like I said earlier, I have people in the classes that don't even want to be actors, especially in the improv and the beginning scene study stuff, because every one of my classes, whether it's the commercial, improv, or the scene study, is all about the person who they are, really.
Mm-hmm.
And not hiding that, being in touch with it.
Right.
You know, having that full emotional expression all the time and not being inhibited. Because recently, the doctor that I tell you about, because I love the story about
him. Tell us about the doctor.
I'm blown away with that, because I saw him again today. And he told me that when he took the class, I knew he'd be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made him promise that no matter what, he would finish the class. And he told me the first 4 or 5 weeks were really tough for him, but he remembered the promise that he had made to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and all of a sudden, he said, he got it. He got it in the fifth class, it was the improv. And he said, and then the rest of it was just the most joyous experience for me. And I asked him, I said, what did you get? And he said, I got that nothing is wrong, that nothing is a mistake, that everything that happens is a gift, and it's how you interpret it. And what he's done is gone on to use that in his speeches, so that when people ask him a question, if it's a stupid question, he doesn't judge it as a stupid question.
Right.
He takes the information and he gets present with it. And then he comes up, it forces him to create on a whole different level.
Right.
And I'm starting to realize, because I recently had a majorly horrible event in my life, and the thing that I keep hearing over and over again in everything I'm reading, and even what I'm saying, is that everything that happens helps define you.
Right.
And if you stop taking it as something that's bad, and just, you don't hear the expression, if life gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
Right.
That's sort of a trite way of saying that no matter what happens, you don't have to be thrown by it. It's a choice to be thrown by it and beat up by it. It doesn't mean you don't feel bad and feel sad,
mm-hmm.
but you don't get beat. You don't get disqualified.
Right.
You keep playing,
mm-hmm.
and recreating yourself and recreating the experience to be something. Because life is, as much as I'm hooked, I'm a happiness junkie. I want to be happy all the time.
Right.
But that's really not the way it works. And sometimes something comes in, and it's how you deal with it. So that's how I teach too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my belief is very simple. The only thing that we're in complete control of is the way we act to stimuli that affects us. We can't control what happens around
right,
us.
Exactly.
All we can control is how we react to the situation around mm-hmm. us, and that's the only thing that we have.
But people don't have a chance to practice that. Do you realize that? They don't think about it. They just have it, and that's what I think that's why acting classes, therapy groups, where you have to be, it's a microcosm of life's experience, and then you get a chance to practice.
Mm-hmm.
how you're being with all this stuff.
Right.
Because it's a great concept, and people can sit and talk about it, but until they're in a situation that focuses on them and gives them a chance to practice, because, like, for example, I have actors who come to me and go, you know, I really don't want to be an actor, I just want to do commercials. Well, that's the biggest lie that there is, because it's much more difficult to do commercials. People don't realize it. It's
no,
like
tell us about that.
Well, it's 10 times the amount of people who audition, number one. There's thousands more people who have commercial representation than acting representation.
Wait a second, I should be taking notes. Oh, I know this.
No, but it's just that it's so immensely competitive. And when you go in there, you have, the moment you walk in the room, they've made up their mind. And it's like sometimes you have to know how to walk in the room, who you're being at
right.
that point. And then being able to take their direction and go with it. It takes a person who's confident, because there's an expression that I use a lot, I'm sure you've heard of it, there's really not a lot of competition in this town. There's just a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, what constitutes competition are people who are talented, trained, have a positive feeling about themselves, who take everything and make it work for them as opposed to being constantly beat up.
Right.
There's a lot of things that constitute competition.
Right.
But there's very few people that are really competitive. Because as a casting director, I find myself bringing a lot of the same people back because those are the people that deliver and make me look like I know what I'm doing when I'm casting.
Right. Well, that comes with these people, and I don't know, it's the chicken and the egg, but the more you work, the more confident you get. When you have one national commercial running, your confidence level goes up. You have two national commercials running, your confidence level goes up even that much more. And if you're working all of the time, you've got commercials everywhere, you're doing TV,
right.
all of a sudden you walk into the room. You own the room because in your mind, hey, I don't need this job. I've got 100 of them running right now.
Right. And how do you get there? You don't accidentally get your first commercial. You have to be the person who is the end result of what you just said, a person who's already done a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in. You see, there's so much money that they spend on commercials. In fact, I'm talking to someone now about casting an $18 million commercial that's going to run once. There's so much money that people spend that if you don't walk in secure,
mm-hmm.
and have a sense about yourself where they want to bet. It's like I call it a pony race. And it's like which one of the horses that they're going to bet on that's going to come through for them when they shoot and when it runs. It's very competitive. It's very exciting, but it's very competitive. But you can tell, five times out of 100, I know who's going to get a call back and be booked by the way they walk in the room.
Mm-hmm. Now, when they walk in the room, they've already been typecast, though.
Yeah, I mean, we've narrowed it down to the types that they're looking for, but every so often someone who isn't the type changes their mind
mm-hmm.
because they bring something very special to it.
And how often would you say that happens?
About 20% of the time.
20% of the time.
In my experience, and I don't do a lot, but in my experience, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a lot of times they'll tell you this is exactly what they want, and then they'll see two or three days of those kind of people, and they go, well, maybe we'll see this. And then every so often, that's when I get creative, and I bring
right.
in who I think might be interesting.
Right.
And that's who they usually end up with in those situations where they don't go with their first choice.
Well, how many people can they actually look at before it all starts to become a mush?
There's been cases where they see as minimum as 40, 50 people to thousands
mm-hmm.
for a one-line thing or a short commercial or a spoke situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's thousands of people talking to us.
Thousands of people.
Yeah.
Thousands of people.
And they cast on both coasts,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes in Canada, and when they're really looking for like a spokesperson or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now, let me ask you
yes.
this. Let me ask you this. How does one get started? I mean, let's say somebody in our audience right now says, everybody tells me I should be in commercials.
Right.
I've got that kind of face,
Right.
How does one get started?
Well, I'll give you an example. I had a lunch today with a man who's in his early 50s, who's an attorney.
Let me give you another question. Maybe, what is your phone number?
213-654-2212.
What was that number again? Because I didn't get it.
Oh, you know it.
I know it, but there are people out there that don't know it. How do we get started? You call Carolyn Barry. That's what you do. Give them the number.
There's the phone
that
number.
That could be a call for you. Okay, yes.
Well, 213-654-2212.
All right, we're talking with Carolyn Barry, a wonderful woman, a director, a casting director, an actress, everything. Are you a mother?
Of two dogs.
A mother of two dogs?
And I'm looking for a great man. So.
A great man? Oh, Carolyn, you're looking right at it. It's funny how you just can't see what's right in front of your face. All right, you're listening to Cash Landy on the Self-Motivational Comedy Experience.
We're in a department store in the Midwest, and your name is?
Mrs. Hanson.
Mrs. Hanson, you've been listening to this record here. What do you think of what you've heard so far?
I think it's funny. I think it's relevant. I think there's laughs for young and old alike.
Do you think it'll sell?
Oh, I think it'll sell very big. My family, I'm sure, would buy this.
How many in your family?
Well, I don't really have a family. That's just a figure of speech.
I see. I thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
All right, Albert Brooks there on the Cash Landy Self-Motivational Comedy Experience. I hope you guys are really having a good time out there listening. I hope you're getting something out of the show, as I know I am. And I want to give you the number again. The number is 888-422-5537. If you have any questions at all that you want to ask Carolyn or you want to ask myself, again, I'll give you the number one more time. It's 888-422-5537. We're going to break for a little commercial, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Cash Landy and the Self-Motivational Comedy Experience on KYPA. Hello, my name is Cash Landy, and I'm the host of the Motivational Comedy Network. I'm also a presidential award winner from Dun & Bradstreet and a professional stand-up comedian. So if I can show you a way how to spruce up your meetings and make your people more productive, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Cash Landy's Self-Motivational Comedy Experience uses humor as a means to deliver information which will increase the productivity of your sales and administrative staff. Our proven method of training is guaranteed to make your sales meetings more productive, profitable, and fun. And the telephone techniques will have a positive impact on the quality of customer service, lead generation, and number of sales closed over the telephone.
So why not have a good time and be productive? My topics include a no is a yes in disguise, develop rapport with humor, how to get through to anyone, and positive self-talk.
For more information, give us a call at 310-391-1365. That's 310-391-1365.
My name is Cash Landy, and you make it happen. All right, hey, that was me pre-recorded. That's my commercial. And if you guys want to get some motivation in you, if you have a company out there and you want to get your people to better themselves and bring in more money for you, you know, more customers, hey, give me a call. I guarantee you, or you don't have to pay, money back guarantee that your sales will increase. Your sales will increase and your morale will increase. Because, you know, comedy is not necessarily what I do, the Motivational Comedy Experience, is not necessarily the ha 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 ha, although it's nice to have every once in a while. Right now what we want to do is we want to just give you that kind of comedy that sticks with you, that makes you feel better about yourself. My goal is when I'm around you, I want you to feel that you're a better person just being around me. And that's my whole goal, to make you feel like a better person when you're around me. And when you leave me, you take it with you when you go. Because remember, you make it happen. Anyway, speaking of people who make it happen, we're here with Carolyn Barry, just an extraordinary acting coach, actress, everything like that. So, tell me about your first commercial.
Oh, my God. That goes back away.
Was it with George Burns? Oh, my God. Was that one of those?
No, actually, it was with a man that I'm still friendly with a long time ago. It's for Schlitz Beer.
Schlitz Beer.
Yeah.
Now, they don't have Schlitz Beer on anymore, do they?
I guess not. I never I don't drink, so it's like...
Look what you've done to the company. One commercial, that's the end.
Put them out of business. I remember, because I remember one story, that's why I remember the commercial so much. I was holding up the beer for a shot, what they call a beauty shot of the product.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept saying, bring your hand... Oh, thank you so much. That was so good. Anyway, they kept saying, bring your hand closer. And then it was right next to my face. And I says, does this look really weird to anybody? Because it looked like my hand was, like, deformed.
Uh-huh.
And they said, you're right, your hand does look deformed, but the beer looks great, so we're going to go with the shot. I started to realize how important I really was.
I think of that Dustin Hoffman line where he's talking with Sidney Pollack, and he says, but you're a tomato. You're a tomato. You don't argue with the... You just are a tomato, but you didn't see the movie at the time. Okay.
No, I saw it afterwards. I loved it.
Okay, so now
yes.
you've done 400 commercials
yes.
plus. Tell me the one that stands out in your mind.
I think the one that I had that I enjoyed myself. It's very painful for an actor to watch themselves because you always look at what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I think I really enjoyed the most was I had an Oreo cookie commercial that ran for about 3 years.
Wow.
I made a lot of money. But it was just sound to it. It was all done to music, and it was me and the husband and him being caught with the cookies and stuff. And it's just, they do the most wonderful commercials anyway. They're very magical.
Now, did you have to eat the cookies too?
Oh, are you kidding? I took them home.
I mean, did you have to eat them on camera?
Yeah, not much though.
What do they call that? Bite and smile?
Bite and smile, eat and spit, whatever you want to call it. Because a lot of times when you're doing eating commercials is that they have a spit bag right next to you. Because
uh-huh.
if you, you know, it looks great, but after you've been eating it for a few hours, you get really nauseous.
Right.
And with kids, you know, I used to do a lot of commercials with kids. And, you know, and the kids don't want to spit it up. But if they don't, within 20 minutes, they're nauseous and they're no good for anybody.
Right.
It's like you couldn't eat. You didn't really eat. And when lunch came, it was a joke because it's like you had to absorb so much that you couldn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't hungry for lunch.
Uh-huh.
But you would eat and spit. It's very attractive.
My favorite commercial of all time was the Alka-Seltzer commercial where the guy was doing the spicy meatballs, you know?
Yes.
And then finally the punchline was, all right, cut for lunch, you know?
I remember one commercial. where I was when I was married at the time. It was a mattress commercial, and I you know, I went in the morning. They put me in hair and makeup. I laid down, and then every half hour they wake me up to turn me over. It was the most exhausting day I've ever had.
What made you say you were married at the time? What did that have to do with the commercial?
Because I did the commercial with my husband.
Oh.
He was an actor as well.
Oh, and so you were both in bed?
We were both in bed together. And it was just, that's it. Literally every half hour, 20 minutes, they wake one of us up to turn over, and that was it.
You had to sleep?
Well, not sleep, but pretend like I was sleeping. But if you lay down all day, you get tired.
Uh-huh.
It was exhausting. I left there at night, and I was wiped.
Wow. Well, yeah, all right, let's go to sleep.
That's it. Turn over, smile, you know, move your shoulder, turn over. And that was it.
Okay. So now you've done all these commercials.
Yes.
What about television? Anything stand out in your mind in television?
Actually, I guess when I was a dancer on the show, that was the most wonderful, because I think the thing about shows is that unless you have your own show, you feel like such an outsider every time you walk onto a set.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in your own show, like I had a recurring role on Here Come the Brides, and that was great because I knew everybody. And it's... There's something when you're working, that's why people love theater so much, because you don't feel like you're being jobbed in and jobbed out. Actors, for the most part, we get shuffled around so much that we want to create some kind of an environment where we feel secure.
Right.
And this business is very hard for that. So when you find a show where you can recur and people like you and accept you, then it's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the ones you really remember. I mean, there's certain roles you remember. Like I did Unsolved Mysteries last year, and it was wonderful because I had like 4 days on it, and I played this wonderful character, and I met her. That's the great thing about doing that show. You get to actually meet the people that the stories are about, and that was a lot of fun.
Wow, that's exciting.
When you know,
and it's like, do you have any heroes?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, people like Joanne Woodward. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of people who I look at them and I just, who they're being is just so exciting to watch. There's certain people I'll just go to see a movie no matter if I want to see the movie or not because they're in it and I feel like I'm going to see a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But there's actresses that have been around for a while that I just, they're my heroes. Mm-hmm. The ones that direct and create and that have something to say. Because when I directed my show, that was a big lesson I learned is that we all have visions when we do things. Like when you have this radio show, this was your vision.
Right.
Right? And you followed your vision. Because you talk a lot about people going after what they want.
Right.
But a lot of times people are insecure about their visions, as I've been about some of mine in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm learning now, it's like it's still your vision. And you recruit people around it that see the same vision you do.
Yes.
And so that was the question. I forgot what it was.
What's the difference? We're having fun. And that's what counts. Now, the thing is that you mentioned about the dreams and how people don't know what their dreams are. That's so true. You know, you ask somebody, okay, what would you like? You know, what you want to be when you grow up? And they say, well, I'd like a lot of money. And I say, well, what's a lot of money? And that's the first thing, because they're not very particular on what the money is. And so you got to get them more specific. And finally, they'll say something like, oh, $20 million. Okay, so you have $20 million. I'll tell you what. Let's say you won the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you won the lottery, and now you've had $300 million.
Right.
What would you do? And their answer is, I don't know, I'd probably sit at home.
Right.
You know, all right, so how long could somebody sit at home? How long could you possibly sit at home? Then the next thing they'll say, well, you know, I'll buy a car.
Right.
But the thing is, when you have that kind of money, no matter how much you buy, you're never gonna spend all that money.
You never satisfy the void. If there's a void there, you don't satisfy it. And there's usually a void when people don't have a passion in their life.
That's right.
And a lot of times people don't want to commit to a passion because they don't want to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have people who come to me, you know, I interview 5-10 people a week who want to take classes. And I say to them, do you really want to be an actor? Is it something you want to try? Is it a hobby? Is it something that someone else told you you should do because you're pretty?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Why are you here? Why are you going after this? And most of the time people don't know. And I say to them, okay, if you don't know, then say you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And at least that's some place to start.
Yes.
And then with the people who know, when people come to me and there's a girl, a gorgeous lady who was a model, came to me and she, you know, she wanted to get into acting and it was very clear. And this girl has made amazing progress in a short time because she's very clear about what she wants.
Mm-hmm. Well, if she's listening, I want her to call in. The number is 888-422-5537. Again, that number is 888-422-5537. Marina's just like sitting on the phone talking to these other people. I guess, you know, somebody must have something interesting to say other than, well, look who's here. We have a special in-studio guest that swung by. You might know this woman, and I guess when we come back from our break, we are going to say hello to a good friend of mine who you've heard on the show, Miss Sally Kirkland. So hang with us. Remember, the number to call is 888-422-5537. You're on the air with Cash Land, the self-motivational comedy experience, and Carolyn Barry. And Steve, let's run something.
I must tell you about the youngster born to one of the nation's wealthiest families. At an early age, he begins to show a feeling for the world of opera. With all of that wealth behind him, it's made possible for him to have the finest in voice, culture, elocution, everything to make for a great career in the event he shows promise. Well, believe it or not, when he gains his maturity, he's begun to carve a niche for himself in the world of operatic music, beautiful voice. And as a result, he's invited to sing at La Scala in Milan. Now, the opera world knows this to be the truth, and I'm sure you do. There is no opera audience anywhere in the world quite like the one you'll find at La Scala, if for no other reason than that they are born, they live, and they die with the opera. They'll beg, borrow, and steal to get into the opera house. They go to the opera to listen. You might come to Milan with a fantastic reputation 2 minutes after you've opened your mouth. That audience knows whether you can sing or whether you're a fake. Now, the opera this particular evening is I Pagliacci, in the aria Veste di Giubbe. And this young man pours his heart and soul into the aria, so much so that when he finishes, the entire audience rises as if one. Encore, you must sing again. And he does. When he finishes it for the second time, again, you must sing. This happens 8 times. They're screaming for the 9th encore. He walks to the footlights and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, little do you realize what a thrill it is to be accepted at Las Callas. You've received me. Please let the opera continue. You know I've already sung the aria 8 times. What do you expect of me?" A little Italian man from the top balcony screamed down and said, "You dirty son of Mangoni, you're going to sing that thing until you get it right."
That's right, Myron Cohen. Oh, I love that. And you know what? You know, the whole thing is that here's this guy. He's up there. He's singing his heart out. He's doing the best he can, but he's not hitting the mark. But he doesn't know it. Everyone else around him knows it, but he doesn't know it. And so it's just so motivational to me that here's a guy who's just trying and trying and trying, and he's putting out his best. And that's something that what the goal here is the best you can do is do your best, right? And some people are more talented than others. Some people have it, but it doesn't matter. Here he is. He's at the top opera house. He might not be the best, but he's doing it. And I think that's what counts.
Sometimes the most talented people are not the most successful.
Mm-hmm. I have to vouch for them myself when I think about them. But it's not easy. We've picked a field for ourselves, acting and creativeness.
But I'm not talking about acting. In any business.
In general.
The most talented and the brightest are not always the most successful. It's the one who wants it the most.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that one time I went to a tennis match, and I was sitting next to someone, and they said, "So-and-so is going to win." And I said, "Why do you know? Why do you say that?" And they said, "Because she wants it more."
Mm-hmm.
And it was very clear in the way she was playing.
I think also it has to do with tough skin. Because I think some of the most, I'll use the word genius, people possessing genius on the planet are the most sensitive.
Right.
They go to the depths of feeling, both in a good way and in a fragile way, mm-hmm. in a sad way. And so when the business end of the business of survival on this planet gets going, you have to be so tough-skinned that the art, per se, takes a back seat to just plain
Determination.
Now, did y'all see Demi Moore in G.I. Jane? You saw it.
Yeah,
you see it?
Yeah.
That was a perseverant performance. She produced and acted. It was a study in perseverance, both the character and in her participation with Ridley Scott and making sure that the world saw that male polarity side of her.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, as written by Anne
Gillard. It was quite a good movie, and especially timely now with the Gene McCunney thing, with the Sergeant Major, the highest guy in the Army, in the Air Force, and in the Armed Forces, that now is going under these sexual harassment charges, so it's kind of like very timely movie. But you know what, to get away from that just for a little bit, what you were talking about when you gave a tennis analogy, I took a course from Vic Braden, who was a phenomenal mm-hmm. tennis instructor, and I remember in the beginning of the course, he said, "Okay, what is the key to winning? What's the key to winning a tennis match? And somebody yelled out, oh, a powerful ground stroke. And someone said, oh, the desire to win. And another person yelled, the other person said, a great backstroke. And he said, no. He says, that is not it. There's one thing that makes you a winner in a tennis match, and that is getting the ball over the net in play one more time than your opponent.
Right. Okay.
And that tenacity, that's what I have. That's where I shine. Hey, I might not be the funniest guy in the world. To you. To me, I am. I might not be the best looking. You should see all these women laughing at me now. Oh, man.
But you're in heaven. You have all these women around you.
Call me. Somebody.
Beautiful
some man.
Blonde.
Call me. Man, I need
bookends of blondes
hey,
on either side of the
crowd. Has got to call. 818. Oh, what am I giving? 818. 888-422-5537. 888-422-5537. Some guy call up and balance out the show. So,
or we
Sally,
could have another
speaking
girl.
About, speaking yeah. about sticking to it.
I yeah, mean, hey, going on 30-something years. 30-something years of acting. I went to the actress
she
studio today.
She was a child
today.
Actress, by the way.
Yeah, I was a child actress. Actually, I did do Macbeth when I was 12.
Right.
She was a prenatal actress.
Yeah.
I went to all-girls schools, Carolyn, and I had to play the men. So I played Macbeth when I was 12. I played Prince Albert when I was 13. I played Mr. President, Mad Woman of Chaillot when I was 15.
That was my first play.
Right, so
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So by the time I got to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, they wanted me to play grandmothers and aunts and mothers. And I said, what are you talking about? I'm ready to play the husband.
You take what you can get sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And they are the best roles. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, at least in Shakespeare's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How nice to be talking acting rather than usually when I'm here we're talking business transformation, although maybe you've been doing that too.
Well, we're talking about life in general.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
we're talking about dreams and hopes and wishes and our craft.
Mm-hmm. Well, may I say that I went to the actor's studio today. I hadn't been in over a year, and it was so exciting to me to see the young talent there just cooking. And
what were they making?
They were cooking. They were cooking acting, Cash. And I did my little critique as a good Strasbourgian acting teacher should. And it was so great. They all circled around the band and said, oh, tell us more, tell us more. And I haven't been in that situation in a while. I forgot. And you're a teacher,
yeah.
you know. I forgot how great it makes you feel when the younger generation is hanging on every word you're saying. So here we are, Cash Landy's
you also feel
public.
It validates who you are and
yeah.
your experience.
Yeah.
And that's really important because it's like we have egos too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know, one of the things that I say in my act, and one of my favorite jokes that I wrote, came from a true life experience, and it goes, when I told my friends I was going to be a stand-up comedian, they all laughed at me. Well, they've seen my act, and they're not laughing now. And it's that willpower, that desire to do it,
no matter what,
be out there and do it, and you know. It's amazing how I've been battered and how I've been bruised and how I just get.
But you're so happy, Cash. You're the happiest scarred tissue I've seen.
Because I believe in myself, and nobody can take that away from me. No one is able to take that away.
You want to know? I'm interrupting all over the place. I'm
sure,
sorry.
Sally.
It's just that I was locked out on the street for 20 minutes before the security guard knew I was waving at. This is my new affirmation, you guys.
Let me hear it.
I am loving myself just as I am right now. Mm-hmm. And
right.
I had the toughest time coming to that because I was always living in my glorious past with Anna and Oscar nominations or in the future, the film I'm going to direct, the feature I'm going to direct. But I was forgetting to appreciate, like right now I've got you two sitting on either side
right.
and all the love coming at me and out there in Radioland. And it's like about the moment now.
Well, that's my affirmation. I have something mm-hmm. similar to that, which is that when the quality of your life becomes more important than the results you produce, then you have a life.
When the quality
of
your
life
becomes
more important than the results you produce,
oh, that's wonderful.
Then you have a life.
That's wonderful.
Mine I stole from someone else. Nietzsche. And I didn't even realize it. Now I'm quoting Nietzsche. Here's this German Nazi, right? What am I now? I'm a Jew, you know. But whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger, you know.
It's true.
But it's
true.
And last week I said, whatever doesn't kill me makes me a better person. That's not true.
But, you know, Cash, the other side of having that kind of will and determination, sometimes people are just, they get stuck in because they've had no success at something. They're determined to like be successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is they stop asking themselves if they really want it anymore. That's what I said earlier about separating out your fantasy from your dreams. and getting clear on what you really want, not what you couldn't get before and you're determined to get no matter what.
I hear what you're saying, because for me, it's been very frustrating as an actor, as doing it as an actor was very, very frustrating for me, because I couldn't get any recognition for what it is, and that's basically, hey, I started at such a late date in my life. It was something
There's
that...
There's no such thing as a late date. No. Look at Walter Matthau. You know?
Well, look at him.
He started fairly early, though, but there's
right.
a lot of other
Well, look
people.
At Shirley Green.
No,
Shirley Green is my...
30s.
Shirley Green is my hero in that respect. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know Shirley Green, and I probably couldn't point her out in anything. But I read her obituary. I guess
oh, the lady that was 110 that died last week.
No. That's someone else. But it looked like Shirley Green, because they were both dead. But no, the Shirley Green, her obituary was is that she was 96 years old, and at 76, she was a cashier at Thrifty's, and she made a decision it was time to get into acting. And at 76, she went into acting, and she made a living.
I gotta tell you something. I told you I see a lot of people every week who interview for my classes and everything. And a lot of times I have people, recently an attorney, 50 years old, decided he wants to go into acting. I've had people 75 years old, a man who started with me a while back. I have kids. I mean, I don't take them any younger than 19, but it's so interesting to see when people, I hear the story all the time, well, I always wanted to be an actor, but I was told I had to go to school and do this, and so that they went, some of these people made a lot of money so that they could stop and become
right.
an actor.
Because
mm-hmm. that was always their
it's very
creative
smart.
Dream. Yeah.
It's very smart.
But it's also in this business, it not always makes a lot of sense because it's harder as you get older.
Sure,
and
but I think
much
the other thing
you
said, Carolyn, about make a little money
right.
and do the acting, I've taught at this point 4,000 people that I can speak for, and every one of them, I went through my survival kit of how to
right.
keep going when you weren't making a living. And the idea of what you just said, do what you have to get the bank account to then give yourself anywhere from 6 months to a year or more
we
to ride
focus.
On.
Yeah.
yeah.
I also tell most actors, too, that you really should be putting aside anywhere from $400 to $500 a month to cover
mm-hmm.
your classes, your pictures, your joining the union, duplications,
mm-hmm.
mailings, networking situations.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's a you
being seen at the right restaurants.
Well, whatever. but it's like that. But they
yeah.
have to approach
As
it like a business.
As a busboy or waiter doesn't make it, though.
No, not really.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
I hate to say that we are coming to the end of the show. So, Carolyn, tell me again. I know your number, but there's a lot of people that are just tuning in right now that want your number. And I thank you very much, Steve. We have 3 minutes left, as Steve points out.
Aww.
Marina, why don't you come on in here as well? Steve, why don't you turn on your microphone? You
can I say real quick, everyone, please see my new movie, Excess Baggage, starring Alicia Silverstone. And I have a scene with Chris Walken and a scene with Benicio del Toro in it. And it was so fun. Marco Brambilla was such a wonderful director with me. And she was 19, producing me. At the time. She
oh,
was
wow.
the executive.
Who is this?
Alicia Silverstone produced it.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
I heard it's a wonderful movie.
It's just amazing. Get
it's
one
a,
hit role
a,
in a movie
it's
and you're a producer.
Inside into that age. Mm. I'm sorry, Cash. Say it again.
One hit role in a movie and you're a producer. You've got a production company.
Well, all
Everybody
the more power to her.
That's
don't
right.
we wish when we were 19 we had like a three-picture deal with Columbia?
Gary Coleman was 9 years old, remember?
Right.
Yeah. He had a three-picture deal with for Kodak in a wallet-sized pocket picture. That's
oh.
what he had. So anyway, Carolyn, give out your number.
213-654-2212.
And this is an acting class extraordinaire. And she has different levels. She has a professional level where you go in and where you're ready for the big time. And then there's a level when you're just ready to get started into it. And then there's an intermediate level that brings you up to the big time. She's very talented.
Thank
and
you.
I can speak
She looks like Garbo from the side.
And you know what? I actually took a class from you so many years ago at PGA. Was that what it was called?
PAG. Professional
PAG. And went so many years ago. And you're still around and you're still doing it. What's the secret? What is your secret?
I just keep doing it.
Doing it. The name of a wonderful book by John Roger.
You just keep doing it.
All right.
And you gotta love what you do.
All right. I want to know this. When you wake up in the morning, how do you get yourself motivated? Let's start with Sally. How do you get yourself
I swim, motivated? And then I do my hatha yoga, and then I do my affirmation. I am loving myself just as I am right now, and here's the rest of it. I am a peaceful, tender, courageous woman listening from my heart, seeing through the eyes of the Christ, and celebrating the divinity in me and in you.
Hare Krishna.
Om Namah Shivaya Guru Vaishnava.
I usually wake up in the morning and I thank God for everything that I'm about to receive that day. And then I turn around and start playing with my dogs for 5 minutes
mm-hmm.
and get really clear on what's important. And just, they're fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And Marina, what do you do to motivate yourself in the morning?
To motivate,
That's it. Time is up.
It depends on what time of the morning it is.
All right, Steve, what do you do to motivate yourself?
I think about doing this show.
You gotta love them. You gotta love them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the very end.
Ladies and you.
Ladies and me, I've had a wonderful time. I've really enjoyed being on the air with you guys. I'm going to be in New York next week, and then I'm taking some time off and going to Hawaii. So for 5 weeks, I'll be in Hawaii. And I just want to leave you with this thought. L.A. is a great town, and it's up to you on what you want to make of it. So remember this, ladies and gentlemen. You make it happen. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you real soon. Take care of yourself. Bye, everybody.
Yay! Bye-bye, Cash!
Thank you, everyone.
Aloha!
Issues and subjects presented on the previous program do not necessarily reflect the opinion of the staff and management of KYPA Los Angeles.
Hello, my name is Cash.